G'day and welcome to Chill Island. My name's Kit Greer. Chill Island is going to be a pretty regular podcast, hopefully, where I get to sit down and talk to a bunch of different people about a bunch of different ideas and arts and different things that make it particularly interesting to live in the day and age that we do. So hopefully that'll kind of range from people creating cool things to people just celebrating them, which is kind of what today's one fits into. This first episode, we talked to a good friend of mine, Jordan Jones. I play with him in Team Rocket. We've played in a couple bands together over the years. And he's particularly versed on video games. We've had a bunch of those conversations, like lengthy ones, over the years, and I thought it'd be cool to just get started with one of these. So we talk about some of just the pertinent ideas and issues going on in games today. It's a pretty nice balance, actually, you know, whether you know anything about them or not, because I only know a little bit, whereas Jordan knows a bunch more than I do, so it's kind of friendly to beginners, but shouldn't bore anyone who actually knows stuff either. So hopefully you enjoy it. The format for this whole show will hopefully just be as chilled out as possible. It's kind of where I get the name from, is I just want to immediately dispel any idea that this is an interview, which it's not. I just want to get away from that because I don't really feel like a lot comes from the traditional format. You know yourself from reading musicians' interviews and different things that people get asked the same things all the time, and it's not that insightful. I feel like the most interesting things come out of candid conversations, really, which kind of explains the long format of it. I get that. That's kind of the beauty of the podcasting world, is I really enjoy the long features, and I think it'll be a recurring theme that these are over an hour long. Hopefully you enjoy that. I mean, it should be nice that you can dip in and out, whether you need to listen to the full thing or whether you just want a bite at the start. But if it sounds at all interesting to you, then do hit subscribe on iTunes. I'm based in Belfast, so I think for the time being, this is going to largely focus on the musicians in particular, but musicians and creative people of Northern Ireland. And if you want to keep in touch with new episodes and things like that, then you can also follow me on Twitter. That's at Kit Greer, KitGrier. And if you want to follow Jordan, who features on today's episode, that's at Jerdern Jerns. That's at JERDERNJERNS. Guess the meme. Thanks, hope you enjoy.
Oh, that was a bad idea.
What's going on, Jordan Jones?
I'm just, you know me. That's an easy way to deflect that question. I have nothing going on.
That's not true. You just, you're moving away from Belfast.
That's so the thing. I'm soon to have nothing going on.
No, Jordan Jones lives in Belfast. He's lived here for a few years studying that. He studied chemistry, plays in Team Rocket with me. But now he's still going to continue playing with Team Rocket, but he's moving back up to the North Coast. It's from Corinne.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what you'd say? Do you say Corinne?
Though there seems to be a really common misconception for some reason that I'm from Portrush. Like,
oh, really?
I don't know how it got around, but people keep saying I'm from Portrush, and it's even when I correct them, like, you know, I don't do it as much as just to say, oh, no, I'm from Corian. It's just like, bring it casually up, but it doesn't sink in next time. It's like, we're back to where we were of, oh, yeah, we'll have a good time in Portrush. It's like,
you really sound like you're thinking about one person in particular.
You know who you are.
Someone was saying yesterday that this just blew my mind, because growing up in the North Coast, you know, having to straddle, I mean, every day you were traveling between County Antrim and Derry, and someone was like, yeah, I know Belfast, parts of Belfast are in County Down. I was like, don't fuck with me. That's that is too complicated. What?
I didn't know that. I feel like I've been led astray, you know.
I am just totally saying this without ever having researched it either. So I think it might have been Richard though, who's here a few minutes ago, so we can ask him when he comes back. But yeah, that's your deal. You're starting a new course.
Yeah.
Nurse course. What are you studying?
Computer science.
Cool, because I think maybe last couple of times I talked to you, I hadn't entirely decided, but here we are.
Yeah, like, I figured I just need to lock in at some point, because if it was, you know, I'm actually impressed with myself for having made the decision. Like, I feel like I've really accomplished something without even having started the course. It's like,
yeah,
I picked to do this. This is great.
Yep.
Took a lot of balls.
That's fair. And people always say, like, my little brother's looking to do computer science. People say it's a super difficult course, but...
Wait, what?
But you've pretty much had it as hard as it gets with chemistry.
Yep, and I...
Already?
I backed out of that one, so let's see what happens.
That's not fair. You did 3 years.
Yeah.
And I guess that kind of leads me to what... I figured we'd probably end up talking a lot about, which is video games.
Yeah.
Because would you say you're like going into it with that end goal?
Yeah.
Am I like teasing that out of you, like putting words in your mouth?
I'd say that would be like the, you know, the dream, you know.
Yeah.
Where it's certainly one thing that like, I'd say that whenever I'm learning all the, you know, all that computer stuff, whatever they do.
Yep.
And that stuff, what they do on
whatever
computers.
Whatever it is.
It's like the outside interest I'll probably have with it, where I'll try and take that knowledge and apply it outside to make crappy little games.
Yep. You'll be like, just like a student that every lecturer hates. They're just like, excuse me, how does this relate back to games? It's like, like, oh my god.
It's like, yeah, I get how you're trying to build intelligent systems here for like the future of technology, but I want to know how I can take this, put pixels over it,
yeah,
and just make like basically
mad
mimic the
bank.
Past
Mad like, Bank on Steam.
I want to make Mad Bank. That's basically it. I want to get greenlit. I want to roll in those top dollars.
Yeah.
I want Infamy.
£5,000 in-app purchases on iTunes.
Yeah. I want it all.
Yeah.
Like, just, is it too much to ask? I want to be the next EA.
The next Gabe. What's his last name?
Newell.
I don't really know my stuff.
Call him Gaben. Everybody seems to be dying about
that. Like, is that what everyone calls him?
Yeah. Huh. I think it was like his email address was Gabe N, and then it stuck just to call him Gaben.
Oh, okay.
Say that like it was some sort of, you know, my friends call me Gaben kind of thing. It's like, no, the internet calls me Gaben. Like,
that's kind of cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've just decided for you. Huh. I mean, yeah, you fill me in because I follow games a little bit. I follow games a bunch, but maybe not as much as you do because I know, and other people, because even, you know, every time I go to my family home, I talk to my brother Christian. He like fills me in on the latest news in the industry. And it tends to be just like, it's not even news. It's just guess who fucked over everyone most recently.
Yeah.
So like, we got EA. They're assholes, is that the case?
It seems to be pretty much, yeah, like, people are of that opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm trying to think if they've done anything particularly bad recently, but...
I mean, with them, has it kind of been all DRM or something?
Well, I mean, their DRM, I think, is okay.
Oh, really?
Like, they're even giving away free games at some points. I think it's just that, like, they're... very prone to just locking things off, you know, where games will launch with DLC and you can pre-order to get DLC as a bonus, and then they have a real habit of, or I think that's Activision I'm thinking of, where they just like,
are they bad too?
They're I think more notorious for just basically launching the same game like every 12 months, where it's like, you know, they were Guitar Hero and Tony Hawk and stuff.
That's true.
Which the studio that made Tony Hawk's just shut down today, I think.
Wow. Which is, I didn't know that.
It's sad times. They burned a version of the big eye they had.
Really?
They actually burned an effigy of it.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Yeah, but is that bad news? Because what was the last good game they put out? I think I, like, you know, you talk about switching off. I think, yeah, I just, like, just threw them out of my brain. Like, the day that I saw Tony Hawk Ride it was for everything, actually, I think. For all major consoles. Made
for everything, accepted by nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody except gamers everywhere. That just seemed like a goddamn disaster. That was, like, sign of the times. So it was just awful. I mean, even, it's funny, like, I think they kind of peaked and troughed indefinitely so early on.
Like a half pipe of sorts, just up and down.
They should have seen it coming. I see, I own, back in the day, one of the first consoles I got whenever I was a kid was Game Boy Advance, and Tony Hawk's 2 came out in that, and I played that thing to death. But then, like, I bought, I think, Tony Hawk's Underground there in retrospect. Now, things are never as good in retrospect anyway, but I got addicted to Tony Hawk's 2. Tony Hawk's 2 on the Game Boy Advance still stands up. Tony Hawk's 2 on the PlayStation and N64 is still incredible, but the Tony Hawk's Underground is trash, really bad. So it was like, even then, like, 2 years later, they were just so bad. So I don't think that's any surprise.
Yeah, I think to a lot of people that was like the peak.
Underground on console was good.
Oh, yeah.
Just Game Boy Advance was terrible. Yeah, no, that was great. That was the first introduction of storyline and stuff.
Yeah.
But so they shut down.
Yep.
And is it because Activision bled it? Is that the case?
I'm not even sure, to be honest. Yeah, like, I sort of switched off on them as well. Like, I'm sitting here pretending like I'm sad, but I didn't remember who they were until I read it.
Was it Neversoft? Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well remembered.
Yeah. I think, yeah, everyone remembers the logo. Yeah, so Activision, yeah, I think you're thinking as well of Call of Duty, presumably. They make Call of Duty, right? Yeah. All the Modern Warfare games.
You see the latest DLC for Ghosts?
Snoop Dogg?
Well, I think...
Sorry, is that old news already?
As an extension of that. Like, following down that path as if that was a good one to keep going with. Mm-hmm. Trailblazing, if you'll pardon the pun. You can get customized, like, attire that basically just has weed all over it.
Really?
Like,
it says weed, it's not a leaf.
Like, you get the leaves all over your camo, you know, like hemp camo, but
that's
instead
incredible.
Of actually being made of it, it's just that dank shit all over it.
That's wild.
It's
who are they? I guess they're appealing to 13-year-olds that do not partake in smoking weed.
Yeah, like
I'm guessing, like, I don't know, like, it's that it is kids.
It has to be, like, there's nobody out there that will be like, oh man. Oh, people will know how much of a baller I am if I get this DLC. If I go and pay money to get my character looking like some sort of, you know, blazing badass.
Yeah,
I will be that badass.
Imagine there was like anyone out in Iraq or in some war zone with that. It'd be funny as well if it like imbued your character with grit statistics. You know, like. In a game that doesn't have statistics for what you wear, like plus 50 strength or something silly. I haven't played one of those in a while, but so who else we got? We got Activision, EA.
That's it, really.
They're the two evil ones.
Well,
I mean, what do you make of the? Because that it is, as you say, actually, I'd forgotten that it is the downloadable content thing and the pre-ordering bonuses and all this kind of super cynical ways of doing it. I mean, we should see it coming. Really, it's just about EA. They are super successful because they're super competitive and they're just trying to maximize their bottom line. But I mean, what do you make of those developments?
Well, I think it's kind of interesting because I suppose it's pretty similar where there's a new thing happening with early access games. Have you seen that?
No,
it's,
I don't think so.
It's quite big on Steam, where like developers can put their game up for purchase as an early access where it's labeled as that. And it basically means that you're getting an alpha copy where, you know, you're recognizing that the game isn't complete.
Wow.
The game might never necessarily get complete.
Okay.
You've paid for it. But
oh my God, how much do you basically pay?
Well, it varies. I think the general idea is that you get it for slightly cheaper than when it will actually launch as a full game. But like some of them, like there's one game that I have to admit I was pretty tempted to get, Overgrowth, that looks, it's basically you're a rabbit, but like you look like a man, but with a rabbit head. And it's like a platformer kind of thing where apparently like the physics and the fighting mechanics are just incredibly fun. Like they look really great, and you can create levels and all. There isn't much content to it at the minute. It's more of like a toy box rather than like a actual game at the minute, but it looks great. I'm sort of just holding off until it's actually a finished thing. But
yeah,
anyway, with them, it's kind of basically the developers will keep updating and you'll get that update every time it goes through. Then eventually, once they're pretty content with that's the game, they can put it through and launch it, and it's no longer early access. The full product comes out. But there's been a whole lot of controversy about that. But to me, it's sort of, I think with DLC as well, it's kind of being, it's at that point where it's being tainted slightly, where I feel like it was maybe at a point where somebody was, you know, it's a good way to get backing for your game, to make sure that people are actually behind it before you launch it. Because a lot of these people are just doing it themselves and they can't necessarily afford to just front it all at first. They do need a bit of a push to keep them going. But then there are people that, you know, just release a bunch of crap. They keep it pretty much that way. And there's no sort of end in sight to the early access thing. And I think with DLC as well, it's kind of like, you know, some people have pretty good intentions with it where it gets launched and then they're like, oh, it'd be good to keep working on this. And I think it's, you know, maybe a good idea as well that that should be open to people, because, you know, you play a game, sometimes you're like, oh, I wish this was a bit longer. I don't think it's no bad thing for them to be like, oh, we'll make it longer. But whenever it's like, we got this game coming out, we got this bit of a game coming out, like, it's all going to come out at once. It's like, why?
Yeah. So are people using it as like a promotional tool for crowdfunding? Is that the idea?
Yeah, pretty much. I guess it's like sort of Kickstarter kind of thing, but you get like instant product. It's just not the final one.
Okay, right.
There are a few ones that have like been good from the start.
Yeah.
They've just been building on it then. Like there's, I think it's Kerbal Space Program or something. It's you build a rocket and launch it to the moon.
Why does that get me so much? That's genius. Okay.
But yeah, like
I think I heard of that actually, yeah.
It was early access and it's done pretty well for itself.
Oh, like, really?
It seems to be pretty legit, and they're still updating it actually, I think, where they're like adding new mechanics and everything. So I mean, I have it, I haven't played it too much because I'm no rocket scientist or anything, but
is it difficult?
Well, I think it was
or do you just not like it?
It's one of those things where you need to actually like sit and play the tutorials, and you like nearly even have a notepad while you're doing them or something.
Oh god, like, right, yeah.
There's a proper like learning, I don't want to say curve, but wall that you need to need to climb. It's like,
okay,
at that point you can start having fun.
Yeah. But
I think it is one of those things where it's like, to actually have a functioning rocket in it is like, okay, this is I'm playing the game now.
Yeah.
But up until that point as well, I think you're actually meant to enjoy that. Or my instinct is just to be like, god damn it.
Like, you'd make a terrible aeronautics engineer. What was I gonna say? Yeah, my brother talks about that. It's like a big complaint of his is that you know, he would talk about how, like, he's just, like, point blank not putting up with Japanese games anymore. Like, it sounds kind of funny, but, like, specifically JRPGs or anything like that, just of...
Oh, no.
This is a topic close to your heart. Yeah. Just that... This thing that people say of, like, you start a game and it's, like 10 hours of grinding, or it's 10 hours of just, like, learning the game. And I think, I'm sure you've experienced that. Like, I think even whenever I'm trying to think, the last thing I probably played of that ilk was maybe Monster Hunter or something. And, like, several hours into the game, I'm like, I still don't understand what's going on. It's still teaching me mechanics.
Yeah.
And it's kind of frustrating. I mean, but this doesn't bother you?
Well, I mean, in my experience, a lot of the games I've played, they've been, instead of, like, constantly kind of reminding you of mechanics, it's more like it introduces new ones. Like, I think where it's nearly, the game starts to get stagnant a little bit, you know, where a lot of times it's even when the story sort of dips. But then, you know, new mechanic comes in, it's like, whoa, new game. well, not really, but
yeah,
it's like new aspect to it. You can just get your teeth into that. But
maybe you just have Stockholm syndrome for JRPGs.
You
were hooked early on.
I feel like there's some sort of, like, big haired man with a giant sword holding a gun to my head, like, as I say this, just
Who are you thinking of, Cloud? What are the names?
Basically, just take all the generic kind of features.
Okay,
of,
like, yeah.
Put them all together. That's what I got in my head. But, yeah, Cloud's a good guy. But, I mean, yeah, like, I don't even know why I like them so much, to be honest, all those games.
Yeah.
Like, I do go back and play some of them. And, like, this is okay.
Yeah, like the nostalgia
begrudgingly going through.
Yeah, the nostalgia is greater than the actual enjoyment of there in the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, what would you say, like, even if you, it probably helped to not talk so broadly about them and, like, pick one. So, like, what would you say is your favorite Final Fantasy? So this is too complicated already. You can have a couple answers.
I'm going to have it as a tie between
13 Part 2. I hear you.
13 Part 3.
Sorry, I'm blind.
It's just disclaimer, that's not true.
You should lose any, like, respect.
like I'm a respected figure in Final Fantasy buffs, not even that I am one.
Are you active in the Reddit community? Presumably there's a community.
I lurk. That's about it.
Do you really?
See, some people really get into it where they're like looking for optimal builds for characters and stuff. Like,
oh, right, yeah.
You know, there's minute differences you can make whenever you're playing through it that will give your character the best stats. Mm-hmm. And there's people that play through it where they're not allowed to level up. They play through that they don't have weapons. They only use certain characters. Like, sometimes they'll only use one character the whole way through.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not down with that.
Okay.
I waste enough time just playing them as they are.
Yeah, they're pretty lengthy.
Yeah, but right. If I have to pick, I'm gonna go with either 9 or 10.
All right.
9 is pretty good.
You're a poser.
Pretty damn good. What?
One. The original.
Yeah, it's hard to improve on the first.
On the 8-bit classic, the black and white classic. All right, sorry, yeah. 9 or 10?
Yeah, I feel like they've got that right balance of actually being good and holding some sort of nostalgic value for me.
Okay.
But, like, 10 HD, though. Oh.
So, yeah, I feel like this has been a running topic of conversation for us for the last 2 years. 10 HD is out, is it?
Yeah.
When did it come out?
Came out.
And how long was it in development for?
I do remember having brought it up a lot of the time.
Yeah, I think you did tell me when it came out, to be fair.
When was it? It was like start of this year. I'm going to go with... No. It was a couple of months ago. March? March-ish.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that's right, because... Yeah, yeah. I'm going to go with March here. I'm going to lock in final answer.
Okay.
But
you win nothing. What's good about 10?
It's in HD. It's 10 all it has going in HD.
It's double digits. HD. It's on the latest console.
But, I mean, it was like the first one that had the voice acting as well. So it's kind of funny that you look back and that was a big thing at the time.
Mm.
And some of it, it's like...
Is it bad? Is it like Resident Evil bad?
Have you ever heard about that laugh scene? Have you been been told about it?
No. What is it?
It's like... See, the thing is, though, I think it's, like, in the context of the story, it's legitimately meant to be, like, bad,
mm-hmm.
but it's still bad even in spite of that, where it's, like, everything's getting all serious, and they have this, like, little conversation, and it's, you know, you just need to keep laughing, and it's, like, okay, you try. Like, inside, I think they're meant to be feeling kind of crappy about the whole thing, but then they just sort of lean back, like holding onto the rails of this like balcony kind of bit, and then they lean forward and it's just ha 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 ha, like that, and then
holy shit,
they join in where it's the two of them in unison going through it, and then at the end they sort of just look at each other and then they're like
oh, like a proper laugh, like, then okay,
yeah, but even it's kind of like
okay, yeah, but,
I mean, you really need to watch it to actually get the full effect. It's like notorious where people, like, I always see it on like Reddit where they ask, what's your favorite Final Fantasy? Mm-hmm. And anybody that does say 10, it's like, what about that laugh scene though?
Oh, okay, like, okay. Yeah, like it undermines it. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. Like, I mentioned Resident Evil, and it's one of the few experiences I have of truly terrible Japanese game voice acting. And it's, you really have to wonder in cases, it's so bad. Were they aware? Was it like an in joke?
Yeah.
I don't know. But is the game good otherwise? Is it?
I really do like it. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's like, cause they sort of like change up the battle mechanics every time where it's like slightly different. This one, I feel like, was the best one, like the sweet spot. But
presumably between like live action and turn-based?
Yeah, well, this one, it was sort of, I think it's called like conditional turn-based, mm-hmm. where, you know, usually it would be that your characters have a sort of timer for when they're going to attack next, or at least when you're going to pick their attack next, mm-hmm. and then while you're picking your character's attacks, the enemy's still going, like they're on a sort of set timer.
Oh, right, okay.
They just attack once it's their turn. But you don't see that. This one, it was sort of like the top corner had a sort of like little list nearly of like your character's faces.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the enemies would have numbers where you would see like the order of attacks. And I mean, it's weird if you sort of, like if you're trying to think about it realistically and picture it kind of that, with at least with the other one, it's like, you know, people standing around for a bit. But at least if you were to stand there and do nothing, eventually an enemy is going to just kill you. So okay, it has that sort of slight element of realism to it, where this one, it was like, you couldn't pause during battles, because if you didn't take your turn, it would indefinitely just stay there that nobody's doing anything.
Okay.
So if you're like into realism and stuff, it's like, this would never happen.
Okay.
But in spite of that, which I don't think is much of an issue anyway, it's... I really like just the way it worked, where it added a bit more tactic to it, where you could use moves that would like bring your turns closer or push their turns back.
So yeah.
Like, yeah, it was good.
Yeah. I mean, that's it's an interesting point, because as you say, that's like kind of an issue to realism, but I think for like 90% of gamers, they're only experience with, well, not 90%, but 90, like people who've played video games and people who don't play them that seriously or whatever, their experience of a JRPG is probably Pokemon.
Yeah.
Who I think people like don't really even think of as like a JRPG, but it is. And it's So that their battle system, I think, is just super familiar with people, and people expect that you can like set down the game and like come back to it and be like, oh, I haven't attacked yet. Yeah. They're not concerned. It's kind of interesting how that's like, you know, I think a lot of me, I don't know, I feel like a lot of kids these days would be put off by turn-based stuff, but sort of like 90s kids have already experienced it enough that they're pretty used to it.
Yeah, like I've even seen it, the people who are all like, it's a crappy kind of system where you have to select your attacks from a menu, and people are like, oh, it's just a relic of the past where it was like made out of necessity that you just pick them from a list. But I like it, to be honest, because even like maybe I'm just simple, I need it written in front of me. I'm like, oh yeah, I'll do that one, like just scrolling through rather than having any big complicated like combos and stuff. Can't do combos.
Yeah, like, no, I think it's fair. It's just like a different game type. There'll always be a place for it. It's just the same as chess, you know what I mean? There's no like timer there. You're not gonna like, it's not gonna be a checkmate just because you don't move.
I feel like you've validated my love of Final Fantasies by saying that menu-based combat is a bit like chess.
Yeah, it's not nearly as difficult or valid. Or
chess is still valid, Kit. It's okay. It's a bit outdated. You know, the graphics are terrible.
It's a bit of a relic, really.
Yeah.
People didn't have Call of Duty, so they played chess. Like, that's it.
What's a bishop doing in a fight? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, it's confusing. Even more confusing if you play, like, Simpsons chess or...
It's like, what's Mo Sizlak going to do in a fight?
Yeah.
Well, no, I feel like he'd play dirty. He'd be all right.
Yeah, yeah, some, like, new chess piece. It's not, like, part of the regular board. So what are we talking about?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Just whenever you're saying about terrible voice acting as well.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember House of the Dead?
Yeah. what were we doing? We played through House of the Dead. Oh, it was because me and Jordan used to live together a couple years ago, and he had a really good find where he bought a Dreamcast in a local charity shop for very little money. I can't remember.
Like, 8 and 16 games for like a tenner or something.
The insane value. Maybe because it was like cursed. They were like, this is a bullshit console, and you know, just no one wants to be a part of this. But so yeah, so one of the games we had was, you had Sonic, what was it called?
I had Sonic Adventure 1 and 2.
I hear people, it's funny, I hear people talk like with great nostalgia about that game. Was it any good? I think I watched you play it a little bit.
I didn't really like it, to be perfectly honest.
It's probably just that it was like the next generation, like, launch title. So
yeah, like, I feel like it's good for a Sonic game, but I don't really like Sonic games. Like, the more I think about it, it's like, I was, you know, the characters marketed at that sort of demographic. I think I just bought into that rather than actually paying attention to anything that was going on, because... Mm-hmm. Played it and it was like, I'm not really enjoying this. Like, I'm gonna stop.
Yeah, you had to like, you were like Sonic in a city at one point and stuff. That was just weird.
I keep wanting to play though the Sonic 06 one, where it's like even bigger. Like, they really even went for it more in that.
As if that was the solution.
Whereas like before you start it off, he was just like a blue hedgehog, which in itself is kind of weird. But he'd like go around saving animals. You know, he's an animal. He sticks with the animals. He fights a man. Okay, I can get. But then the one that came out like 2006 was like he went into a city, did quests for people, like just went around and like saved a princess, a human princess, and like was, I don't know, like in a relationship or something with her. Apparently, like the first one, like they actually thought about having a girlfriend for Sonic. They decided Holy it was crap. A bit weird, left it out, but they brought it back for this one.
Like, that's incredible. Yeah, they actually went back to their like terrible ideas pile. Yeah. To the stuff that they'd struck off because it wasn't a good idea. That's incredible. Actually, even just looking to the future of Sonic, I believe it was you who brought up before that... that there's a new one. Did you tell me I haven't been dreaming this, and it like literally the future Sonic is as bleak as this, that it was being made in the Unreal Engine.
I think, yeah, like I'm not 100% sure on the specifics.
People can call us on
I've,
this.
I've heard that. I've That's definitely incredible. Heard that. I have seen it that they've even like changed graphical style. Like there are a few coming out. I don't know which one's which.
Yeah, because there's a Western one and I think there's a Japanese one.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous in itself that they decided they needed a Western Sonic. I mean, that's so worrying.
It's like, what will we do to save Sonic? we'll give it to these guys. Like,
Because they've gone through the whole, like, I didn't even follow it. Was it Sonic Heroes or something? And they had like a sword and all that stuff.
It was like Sonic the Black Knight or something.
Was it called that, really?
I think it was called
Incredible.
That. Yeah, it was like, it just even that was after like the going in a city saving woman and stuff.
Wow.
It's like, okay, we've done that. We've exhausted that avenue. Mm-hmm. What can we do next? Oh, we'll get them a sword. Like, what? Though, one of the new ones is meant to be pretty good. I can't remember the name of it, but there's actually a DLC for it where you play in Hyrule and Sonic is dressed as Link. But and it actually replaces the health system of hearts in the levels. But it's actually meant to be okay, I think. Like, surprisingly.
Weirdly, not that much of a stretch from the truth, because I don't know what the relationship is now, but, you know, Mario and Sonic at the Olympics, and Sonic is in Super Smash Bros. Is he in the next Super Smash Bros.? I don't know.
Yes, yeah.
He is. There you go.
I'm a bit annoyed about that, because I haven't seen Captain Falcon yet.
No, Captain Falcon. Yeah, but Captain Falcon's small, like, not small, slow. No time for that.
What? He's...
He's like the same, like, weight as, like, I don't know how it's subdivided. Sam, my brain's stuck in Mario Kart mode. Literally just small, medium, large, but, yeah, I'm not good with Captain Falcon, but there you go.
See, it's either him or like Ganondorf, and
yeah,
neither of them have been announced yet. And I know that like they have a habit of not announcing the like unlockable characters.
Oh, okay.
Which they'll probably be the unlockable ones or something. But like, I just really want to have it like confirmed for me.
I hear you.
Because if I don't have either of those guys, then what do I have?
Do you use Ganondorf? Yeah.
From time to time, yeah. I would use him, and then I'd be like, wait, he's really slow. Like, really, really slow.
Yeah.
But then, like, Captain Falcon's, like, the better compromise.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I just run off the edge of the level by accident. Because he's like, too jumpy. Like,
okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah, a little trigger-happy, because some of his levels are tricky. I only started playing it there again recently. This is pathetic. I looked up the release date of the new one, and I was like, relieved to see that it's out on 3DS 3rd of October and not out in Wii U until the end of the year. So that gives me enough time to lose my obsession with the game that I won't buy it. So I've been using Meta Knight. I don't know if you've done him. Very fast, very good.
I only got Brawl. I've only started it. I haven't unlocked him, actually. Or do you unlock him?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I don't think I have then. But yeah, must give that a try.
Yeah, we'll have a couple of rounds after this, and not when.
Probably.
But getting back, I mean, the whole Sonic thing, it like, it's kind of funny because it's sort of the situation where you have this, you know, legendary franchise, and the reality is that probably any independent developer on Steam could make a better Sonic game if they're given the intellectual property that the Sonic studio could possibly come up with. That they have this idea that the characters have to be, that the characters can be launched into any other game type and that it will sell. I suppose it does sell, to be fair, but that it'll make a good game when, of course, the originals were the product of gameplay and everything. I saw a good quote online whenever the Flappy Bird thing was huge. I think it was maybe Gamma Sutra or something like that. And they said something along the lines of every game, it just proves how every game studio in the world doesn't have a clue what the average gamer wants to play.
Yeah.
And this like one guy in Vietnam of all places I don't even remember what the usage statistics were like, what the downloads were like and everything, but it was insane. And he was bringing in, you know, whatever, 50 grand a day in advertising revenue for this. Now, I heard the complaint that it was like a shoddily developed game. I'm not sure if that's true, because you'll see lots of analysis online saying that the, you know, things like box, when, you know, what is event windows and stuff like that, were just really sloppy.
Yeah.
So you can fail the game even when you shouldn't have. So it's needlessly difficult. But that's part of the charm as well, is that,
yeah,
is that that's, this is essentially what casual gamers are saying they want, is free, ridiculously difficult. I guess it plays into some weird competitive thing with their friends. And I'm seeing the single mechanic thing being like a recurring thing. People, I don't know what it is, like whether they are like drinking like coffee or something in one hand, or like, I don't know, brushing their teeth or something, and they want to be able to play a game with one hand. I don't know, but that that game only had one mechanic, which was jump or flap.
Flap.
Yeah, what do you make of it? Do you play any iOS games or anything?
I haven't really, to be honest. I did play a bit of Super Hexagon, but I prefer it on Steam. I'm used to it. I'm sticking by that excuse.
Okay.
But I actually did get Flappy Bird at a point, but right, I'll tell you my experience of Flappy Bird. So I got in one night, very drunk, and like flopped down on the sofa. Flapped down on the sofa, even. if you'll pardon the pun. It's not even a pun.
It's not a pun. No, continue. It's just,
oh, I feel like I can't now.
go back. Edit. Re-edit.
We can cut that, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so I downloaded Flappy Bird, started playing it, was getting like one, I think my top score was 5.
Wow.
It was just really like counterintuitive to me, to like the timing for flapping and stuff just didn't make sense to me, especially not in my drunken state.
True.
I deleted it, and the next day it got permanently removed from the store. And I was just like, you know, I'm not even mad.
I'll tell you, actually, I had the exact same experience, pretty much. And you are, if you go on the App Store, and I think if you search it up, same as me, you will be entitled to a re-download, even though it's not in the App Store anymore. So you can get involved once again, which is kind of pleased about, because it's a relic at this stage. But yeah. I think he's actually looking to re-release it.
Really?
Yeah. But I know exactly what you mean with the controls and stuff, and maybe this is like a generational thing, or like a, I don't know, but I find it very difficult, this idea of like a button just feels so much more tangible, and so much more, you have a feel of how much control you have over it, and the speed and timing and everything, whereas touching a screen is just weird. You don't, it sounds stupid because you feel like touching the screen is the same as touching a button, but it's not quite.
I saw there's a lot of games as well, like this is probably more sort of tablet kind of area, but like whenever you go to play them, there's one corner is reserved for like a sort of joystick like touch bit. So it's like you have the joystick, but it's really just you rubbing a screen, which really weirds me out. And then I think the like Steam machine that was coming out, I think they're changing it. But at one point, instead of having two analog sticks, it was just two track pads.
Wow.
Like they're going to have it that, apparently it worked pretty well. Like they sent it out to, I think even like the guy that made Super Meat Boy tried it out with Super Meat Boy and said that it worked, like it stood up pretty well.
Cool.
But I think they are just changing it like to normal.
They're maybe just worried about the backlash, regardless of whether it works.
Yeah. I feel like it is one of those things where it's gonna take some pretty ballsy move to change that. Just to be like, see, all these years we've been having sticks on our controllers. Just, nope. We got a better idea.
There's a lot of backlash. Like, I mean, well, what's your broad opinion on, like, the control systems and the motion controls and everything we're seeing, like Wii and even the touch control with iOS and stuff like that?
Well, I think it's, whenever it's done right, it's pretty fun. But sometimes I think the problem is that, like, where I think the Wii U has a good sort of balance of it, mm-hmm. where they don't necessarily have to be limited to it, but they have the option to include it. So I feel like any idea that does have it has it for a reason, where mm-hmm. before, maybe with the Wii, like, I know that it wasn't sort of essential in every game, and a lot of games didn't really have it as a function, but it was sort of like, oh, well, we're making this for the Wii, we maybe need to, like, especially with ports and stuff, like, mm-hmm. they always seem to be kind of tacked on as features, but...
Yeah.
Like, I mean, yeah, I think whenever, like, the Wii U has it pretty good that it can use it if it needs to, but doesn't necessarily have to, so, and I think, like, I mean, I've never tried Kinect or anything, so I can't really speak for it. Apparently, there's some good games for it, but mm-hmm. it seems a little bit gimmicky to me at this point as well. But, like, I think that because the Xbox One, like, launched with Kinect bundled, and it was like, you need Kinect to have, like, the Xbox functioning and all, and then they've gone and removed that, like, they've backtracked on it. I feel like they've kind of... distance themselves from it, where it's like, okay, don't get too excited about this. We're not gonna fully invest in it or anything. I did see they're like releasing it for Windows, like you can have it on the computer now, but it's only for like specific games at the minute.
So they're doing it for games. Well, I mean, this connecting it with computers will suggest that there's like other applications. Is that a thing?
I don't even know, to be honest. I haven't, like...
Is it, like, an open source kind of... Well, I'm guessing not if it's Microsoft, but that would be interesting if it was, like, an... I'm sure people will hack it anyway and make lots of applications for it. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they come up with.
I feel like with... I'm always surprised by how many people have absolutely no time for the Wii motion controls.
Yeah.
I get where they're coming from. Some games work, some games don't. I think, as with any console, towards the end of the console's lifespan, you know, for me, maybe the only one I can say that did it really well, and I saw plenty of articles saying the same sort of thing, that Skyward Sword pulled it off really well.
Yeah.
That it was just really tastefully done. But the key thing there being that it took Nintendo's first party the entire span of the console to get it right. Towards the end, and maybe this is a problem for Microsoft, is who do they have in house to pull off Kinect convincingly?
Yeah.
I mean, they have all the third party developers, but if people aren't invested in it, then maybe they aren't as well. It's kind of a tricky situation. It's like Nintendo don't have any third party developers that'll give it time, and Microsoft don't have any first party, I guess.
Yeah. Like, I know that they have like Kinect Sports made by Rare, I think.
Oh, really?
Which is weird. Huh. Like, they went from like Banjo-Kazooie and like all that sort of stuff to Kinect Sports. What's happened there?
It's pretty disastrous, isn't it?
Yeah, makes me sad.
Yeah, you played Banjo-Kazooie, didn't you?
Yeah,
you completed
I didn't play it until I got it as a download for the Xbox.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
What a cool move that they made it available.
Yeah, like, so, you know, that's good job Microsoft there. I probably wouldn't have played Banjo-Kazooie to this point had it not been for that.
Mm.
But then Nuts and Bolts came out. But
was no, that?
Well, I actually liked it.
Okay.
But I know that a lot of people don't. Because I think... For me, you know, it was, I had just played Banjo-Kazooie, like, a year before that, and I was not necessarily, like they weren't, I mean, I was more of a Spyro the Dragon kind of guy myself, so it wasn't like, this is part of my childhood, it was like, you know, this is a fun game I played, like, a year ago.
Yeah, true.
But with some people, it was like, they played both the games years ago, they'd been waiting for years, they wanted just another Banjo-Kazooie. I think at one point it was even announced that it would be, like, Banjo 3, kind of.
Yeah.
Then Nuts and Bolts came out, and it was, like, totally different game.
Yeah, I guess that's where the discontent comes from. Yeah. That's pretty interesting, though, that you know, it's kind of like yin and yang here, that I didn't play a PlayStation pretty much. I've never owned a PlayStation, so I didn't play. There's a whole back catalogue of games there, and I only owned Nintendo 64 and then Xbox Original, then Xbox 360. So never experienced PlayStation ones, no nostalgia for those whatsoever. So it's kind of, I mean, but I did play Banjo-Kazooie. I think it was the first game I owned, maybe, back in the day. So maybe slightly skewed opinion of that. So it's kind of interesting for you that it holds up at all.
Yeah.
Like, it you know, feels solid and everything to you? Feels...
I think it still had that sort of, like a lot of the games I played whenever I was younger were all platformers and, like, adventure-y kind of stuff. So I feel like it at least had that going for it. Like, where maybe if I'd never played a game like that before, I might not have felt so, like, welcoming about it. But...
Yeah.
No, I really liked it. I haven't played the second one yet, actually, so I would love to give it a go sometime. And Conker's Bad Fur Day as well, which is made by them, I think. So
that was really their golden era.
Yeah.
All really well-received games. Weird as well that they were UK developer, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I think I'm right in saying that.
Donkey Kong as well, actually, was them, wasn't it?
Oh my god, it was. Wow. Yeah, on N64.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I think it was actually... No, I think I'm about to say something that just isn't true, but my brother did tell me this, and he's usually my, like, source of gaming information, is that that it was, like, a Northern Irish guy founded it, or he was at least a co-founder. Isn't that weird? Yeah. That's bizarre.
Didn't know that.
1 million, that means neither of us can ever join the industry. We're just doomed. The odds are against us. There's been one.
It was like, I'm going to have to change degree again.
I feel like I'm just, shouldn't say that, I'm just disregarding all the current independent developers in Northern Ireland, which is plenty. Some really interesting looking games.
Keep it up, guys.
I'm excited about Schrodinger's Cat. Have you seen that one? Italic Pig, they're like a Belfast.
Haven't, no.
Development studio. Yeah, it's worth looking up. I think it's on iPad. It's coming out in Steam. Oh, as well. Okay. Recently they announced, I don't understand the gaming terminology, but they got a publisher anyway. So it's going to come out in Steam, which is good news. It looks like a great game. And it's local, which is really cool.
Sweet.
Yeah.
You'll have to check that out, actually. I did play one at QCon as well. The name's going to escape me here.
It was Bitsmith Games, isn't that right?
Yeah. Was it Frankenjohn?
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
It was kind of like Binding of Isaac, and like whenever I played it as well, the guy asked me, like, have you played Binding of Isaac, because apparently you can, like, notice whenever people have played it from, like, instead of just running in, anybody who's played it sort of backs off once people start coming towards them, but where it's like, but I played it, got like a little bit into it, and died, and then Dylan played it, like, he just ran in essentially, and then did like back off a bit, but was like taking on a bunch of people. I was like, what are you doing? You're gonna fail. Like, ended up getting like way further than me, and I think he only got killed because he like fell off a ledge or something.
Oh wow, I thought you were gonna be great at this. No,
I sucked. He was good. Maybe he should be here talking.
Is he interested in the industry? Does he play many games?
Yeah, he played quite a few.
Did you, like, push games on him? As if he was, like, your child?
I think that was, like, one thing we sort of shared quite a bit was, like, there was even one point where, like, a few years ago, because, like, we both would have played, like, Spyro and stuff back in the day, and we never completed the first one. Like, we got through the main game and, like, beat the final boss and all that. But, like, there was one level, like, in that final hub bit that was locked off until you got 100% in the other ones. And we were like, you know, we've got a bit of unfinished business here. So we got our PlayStation. We didn't have a memory card for it as well. So we had to, like, leave it on. And then we'd, like, alternate, like, play it in shifts.
Cool.
Nearly. We ended up getting through it, like, 120%.
Oh my god.
Yeah, like, once you get 100%, the level opens, you go in, you get like 20 more percent, which is kind of funny. I think it's 20, it's maybe 102 or something, but yeah. But yeah, like we would have played a lot of games back in the day, and he was always super competitive about it. Mm. Where I feel like maybe that would probably still stand today. Like where I have a tendency to play all these like sort of story games. I really like that sort of stuff. And then in the background, I hear like, "Oh, what?" kind of coming from him playing like Hearthstone or something, where it's all okay. Online competition. Like he plays FIFA a lot these days as well.
Which is what is going on in the background right now. My housemates are playing FIFA. I find it pretty interesting. Like it's because it's not even like two gen. I mean, that's the whole video game thing is like so new that there isn't even really generations of players, but there's like mini generations. So like you having played in the 90s, as you say, maybe are more familiar with story-based games. They had to rely on like a one-player mode or whatever.
Yeah,
there was local multiplayer and things like that, but then now very much the games are just totally multiplayer based, and the emphasis has gone completely off having some. I mean, some games don't really. I mean, actually, Super Smash Bros. Is a good example. It's not a great example, actually, because the Wii, if I get this right, the Wii U version has a story mode. There's a 3DS version coming out. Same game, no story mode.
I think it's the other way around.
Other way around? My bad. Okay.
I'm not 100% sure on it either, so it could be like one of us is going to be corrected at some point.
I think you might be right. It does sound kind of like, I remember being kind of surprised by it.
Yeah.
Why they would do that. But it's like a total sign of the times. And even some games are going as far to just eliminate like local multiplayer and just keeping the online.
Yeah. Like, I really don't like that. I want sort of split screen and stuff like that to be a thing still. Like, I remember I used to play SSX games like all the time at home. Like we would even get like the whole family where like we'd all be playing like Tekken in turns, you know, race against each other, that sort of thing.
Sure.
Then the new one came out, or like in the lead up to it coming out, I was getting super excited. I was like, this is going to be great. Get everybody playing it again. And then it launched and it had like local one player, and even like there's no sort of actual online competition where, you know, you drop in and you race someone. It's like you get a bunch of ghosts just randomly thrown into your game, which is pretty cool. And like there's always somebody to play with. In that sense, it's quite nice. But
sure,
I mean, like for me anyway, it was one of those games where it was like the whole local multiplayer was like the appeal of it.
Sure, yeah.
And then it took it away from me.
Yeah, I can't believe it. It's a disaster. My heart was broken whenever really enjoyed the EA Skate games. EA did some good. fantastic, like such good games. And we would have so, you know, there's literally, you know, I used to skate a lot back in the day, and there's literally days when if it would rain too much, we couldn't go out skating. We would literally, it sounds so silly, but we would just go back to our respective homes and just play EA Skate. And it was surprisingly close to, like, it was a surprisingly satisfying solution. Yeah. Because, like, you're there, you're on party chat with the people you're going to be out with anyway. And you've got this whole, like, virtual world. I mean, really cool game. But, for the latest one, I think I'm right in saying EA Skate 3, this is even more cruel. Took out local multiplayer and made it DLC.
What?
£5 to download local multiplayer off the Xbox Live Store. Couldn't believe that.
Atrocious.
Insidious. I say I didn't know anything about EA, but there, I know something about EA. That's horrendous.
Just while we're on the topic, the latest SSX was actually made by EA as well, so we're coming to get you. It's
seriously. Well, if we're not, the internet is, I'm sure.
I'd just like to go on record that EA is just killing sports. How are people going to get behind snowboarding and skating if they can't have the virtual experience together?
It's true.
They're just horrible, horrible, horrible people.
FIFA are keeping the game alive.
Mm.
it's succeeding. Actually, that EA Skate game was a good example of just sort of cynical business practice, because it's kind of funny. They brought out Skate 2, pretty successful. They brought out Skate 3, I don't remember the dates, probably about a year later. So really quickly, you know, like Call of Duty kind of development times.
Yeah.
And it was purely because it was even said like by people at the team that it was like, we're trying to make this Tony Hawk's series. This is the last nail in the coffin, because Tony Hawk's was launching a game around then. Don't remember what one it was. It succeeded. Tony Hawk's did awful. Probably of its own accord anyway, like it's probably just trash, but Skate 3 came out, it was great. They succeeded, but then it just like both died off.
Yeah.
Once there was no competition, like EA killed the series. I think they brought out one for Wii or something like that. It looked awful. But yeah, that was it. That's the end of two. Both of them. Like, it's quite upsetting. Like there's no modern skateboarding games. There probably won't be a next gen one unless someone comes out of the woodwork, which is a real pity. But I guess Skate 3 did a great job, so whatever.
Is Skate 3 the one that people make the videos from then? All the physics glitches? I love those videos.
They are
like,
good.
I absolutely love them.
Yeah, there's a really strong community there or whatever. But yeah, they're really into the whole like replaying footage and stuff like that. So games like GTA and stuff do that, don't they? Like can replay stuff that's happened, which is just bound to happen in such an open world. It's a cool game.
Yeah, like I've never really gotten into Skate, so I think it's one of those games again where like I'm not even a skater in in real life, so like I don't really get the principles of it. I think it's one of those ones where I actually have to like learn something in the process. Mm-hmm. I'm not down with that. I don't want to learn things from games. I just want to waste my time.
Like, hell yeah.
That's all I'm there for.
I know, seriously. That's why you need stuff like Super Hexagon, just drops you right in there. Don't need to know anything.
There's no real life application of that. Like
no. Like, other than like making irrational decisions, I feel like it's quite good at like programming your brain for that.
And like maybe you just, you know, how to deal with anger. Like once you've played it for long enough, you really learn how to contain yourself.
Mm.
Or maybe you don't. That's it. You just unleash the beast like within. Just become the embodiment of rage.
Yeah.
I feel like either way it was bound to happen eventually. So
yeah. Like, oh, absolutely.
It's just a catalyst to it. Just even thinking about it at the minute, I can just hear the game over.
Game over, yeah.
Oh.
And the music. Music's great, though.
Oh, love it. Absolutely love it.
What did you think of, it's just making me think about that, because it's an iOS game, what do you think of the... you said you don't really do iOS too much, but the like controller support. Did you hear that? No, no, no.
Did not know about
it. It's weird. It kind of like people predicted it. I didn't really think it would happen, but Apple, in one of their like press conferences where they're, you know, one of the ones where they're like, here's a new iPad or whatever, they confirmed that there would be like third-party controller support. You just plug it into your iPhone or iPad and play away. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Seems weird, especially for Apple to do it.
Yeah.
It's like... I would have expected them to be like, we've made a controller, rather than, we've got third-party support.
Like, yeah, well, I wouldn't doubt them that they probably do have some sort of, like, just ridiculously priced controller, but but they are certainly, letting others do it. I guess it's kind of cool because you can, I nearly, like, don't believe it whenever I go through the App Store on my phone and it offers me San Andreas.
Yeah.
GTA San Andreas for like £15, or I don't know how much it is, maybe it's less than that. I wouldn't ever play it purely on the basis of the controls. Yeah, can't deal with that many buttons on a touchscreen.
Yeah.
On like a screen that's like, you know, 2 or 3 inches, that's kind of crazy. But, excuse me. But I guess if there was a controller for that, then maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, like an emulation device. I've recently started. Have you used. GBA for iOS.
I haven't actually, no.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm not sure it's like totally legit, but you don't need to jailbreak your phone or anything. It's just like this guy Riley something or other. He's like a just independent developer. He's literally like he's in secondary school in the US or whatever. He's just a bit of like a whiz kid, and he made a web app you download to your phone, and you can emulate Game Boy Advance on your phone. I didn't really think it would work that well, but it works really great, and it's like you just download ROMs, you can save your games to like Dropbox and stuff like that. So it's kind of sophisticated in that you can have it on, if this makes sense, if you own, let's say, an iPad and you had an iPhone as well, you can play your game. And, you know, I'm playing Earthbound at the moment, Mother 3, the fan translation, and I could like play it on there and then pick it up on a different device and it'll sync to the same save data, if that makes sense. It's pretty sophisticated. It's kind of cool.
Pretty cool.
It's really cool. I mean, I guess that's it. Like, these mobile phones are just like little supercomputers, so you can emulate pretty much anything. It's only a matter of time until we can emulate, you know, I don't know. Well, maybe, I don't know, actually, because I tried to emulate GameCube on my laptop not that long ago and really quickly realized that was not a possibility. I think it's probably more for your kind of thing. You're a desktop. Jordan is a desktop PC gamer. The glorious PC master race.
Oh, yeah. Though I feel like I'm totally just, like, going back on that. Like, I'm a turncoat or something because I'm sitting there, like, emulating my PlayStation 1 games on it. So it's like...
Yeah, it's meta.
Yeah, I'm there, but I'm not there.
It's wow.
The only reason I'm doing it is I can't plug a PlayStation 1 into my monitor.
Yeah, it's totally a means to an end at the end of the day.
Yeah, like it's pretty handy, and it means like I can just make like copies. Well, not copies, like virtual sort of images of my games, like stick them into my disk drive, and then save it on my computer. I don't ever have to use a disk, just... That's load it cool. every time, which is pretty sweet.
Like, yeah.
And save states. Huh. Great.
Oh, yeah.
Many
a game could not be completed without save states, seriously.
So I'm such an idiot when it comes to them, where I was playing, is it Super Mario Land 2 on my 3DS, because I got a download for it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I made a save state after I lost a life. Like, so every time every time I went to load it, I had to go through a death, like, play through again.
That's inconvenient.
I accidentally did it. Like, I meant to load and then saved it. So not only did I, like, lose a good place, I ended up starting with a bad one. So I have, like, I think I'm still on that one as well, because I was frustrated at that fact. And I was like, oh, I can't face it at the minute. Yeah. Closed it, left it. So I have to go back. I have, like, 2 lives. Don't have any coins to get more. Need to just go back and like face up to what
I've
done.
If anyone can help Jordan, please get in touch.
Yeah, this is an appeal for coins. I would like coins, please. If you could just send them to me, or even a save file. Yeah, that'd be real nice.
Yeah, donate to. I don't even know. Jordan Super Mario Fund at PayPal. Our camera just died, so pressure's off you.
Oh, thank God. I can stop putting on airs.
I can let my gut hang out.
Oh.
Yeah. So what have you been playing recently?
I started playing Mass Effect, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Like, never had played it. And thought, well, might as well, because I think I, like, got it on the Steam sale. Because it was, like, the first 2 for, like, Fiverr or something like that. It's pretty good. Enjoying that.
Yeah.
But, like, I've been playing a bunch of just random platformers and stuff as well. Because I just can't get them out of my system. I started trying to get back into Super Meat Boy again.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I never played that one, but...
Oh, I'm terrible at it. Like, I'm pretty bad.
It's supposed to be difficult, though, right?
Yeah. I feel like it's not going to be this difficult to the point where I'm, like, stuck. I'm, like, oh. But, and then it made me feel even worse that my, like, urge to get back playing it was rekindled by watching a guy speedrun it, and he did the first set of levels blindfolded.
What?
So he went through the entire thing like it was nothing.
Mm.
I think I caught like the last few levels and then the final boss in it, and which that's the point. I feel like I'm really just giving away how bad I am by saying this, but I'm still at that point of like the final boss and the first set of levels.
That's fair. That's totally cool.
But like, he was just like the first few times, to be fair, he was just like running, and then like he would get hit by it like a blade.
Mm-hmm.
But he knew he'd been hit somehow, like he would start over again. I don't know how that works.
Wow.
But he eventually got it while blindfolded, where I have full use of my vision and I can only use it to see how much of a failure I am.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I was blindfolded so that my futile attempts would be masked to me.
Yeah.
I don't want to confront how much I suck.
It is a weird thing, though, this thing of, like, super difficult games. Like, we do get some sort of, like, perverse joy out of them. I know, like, I'm pretty bad at video games, but I'm, like... Did you ever play Cyberpunk Action?
No.
It was, like, Cat Mario. It was, like, a Mario ripoff where you play as a cat.
I was actually watching a video of that as well the other night. That... I actually really like that game, but...
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's a couple ones I've tried that have been, like... They've taken that even further to the point where it's not even funny anymore. it's like... I think there's one, it's called, like, I Want to Be the Guy or something.
Mm-hmm.
I remember starting it, and I think you have, like, three different ways you can go. And then I tried one way, and was like... Mm-hmm. I think an apple came and just immediately, like... hit me. So I tried doing it again, and then it did it again. I tried it a few more times, like different ways to see if I could get around it. I couldn't. So I was like, okay, that way is maybe legitimately shot off to me. I'm maybe not meant to go that way. So I tried another one, like just kept getting killed. And then like you repeat that for a few more directions. I sort of just realized that these are all ways that you can legitimately progress. It's just, I am terrible at all of them.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Like, it's like the game is legitimately just meant to trick you, and like it's coming to the point where you need to even see like how many pixels you can go before something triggers.
Oh my god, but, wow.
I mean, I can't even speak that much of it because I just quit after not being able to progress.
Mm.
But yeah, that Cat Mario one, I stuck with it.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like with it was just... kind of funny because it was like slightly manageable. Infrequent.
Yeah.
Where it was like the occasional trick where you'd be like, oh man, didn't see that coming. Mm-hmm. But then you'd know what was coming. Like, and it was just a case of memory rather than muscle memory, you know?
Sure.
Like, you don't need to have it like perfectly timed.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just like it with it, because I feel like, because it was, you know, playing on the whole Mario thing, it was taking what you expected playing a Mario game. Like, you were sort of trying to play through that level again.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of like a subversion of that rather than just like a subversion of like all the mechanics in general.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, I remember thinking at the time, like, because there is a jump feature, right? Yeah, there's a jump button. One of my biggest things was just getting used to the difference between a Mario jump and a Cat Mario jump.
Yeah.
But like, that just proves how similar they were. That was one of the few things I was like, okay, so you move slightly faster and you jump slightly, you know, faster or whatever, higher. But yeah, otherwise it was a replication, so you could work with it. You weren't starting from scratch.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we probably fit in like I think you're like a little more hardcore than I am, like games wise, but that's these days, like the spectrum of being a hardcore gamer or whatever goes so far that like we're somewhere in the middle, I guess, between casual and hardcore. Because we were talking, you know, with even there recently with one of our bandmates, Cameron. He plays StarCraft, and that, I mean, it sounds cool. It's just beyond me.
Yeah, like those sort of games, I just, like, oh, I feel like, again, it's one of those ones where you need to know what you're doing before you're any good.
Yeah.
Like, even, like, my roommates would be into, like, Dota and League of Legends and that sort of stuff. And it was sort of like, like, I tried playing it once. I did the tutorial, got killed in the tutorial, like, lost it. Well, like, I know getting killed isn't an issue in that because you respawn. Bad choice of phrase. But, like, I got defeated anyway. And I was like, if I'm losing in a tutorial, I'm not going to be good. And, like, I think, because whenever you're playing it, you get your money and everything. Like, a lot of people have it down to, like, muscle memory, what they're doing. Like, Cameron was even saying as well that, like, some of those guys get, like, so many actions per minute where it's, like,
yeah, what are you
triple
saying?
Digits,
like,
kind of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I think he said, like, 300 actions per minute, and he said he was at, like, 60 or something.
It's crazy.
I don't really remember, but it was insane. It was, like, yeah, I have no idea.
Like, I was even, like, months ago played a bit of Age of Empires, and I think only by luck there was some other, like, we had a sort of party of people we'd added into it, and then there was one guy just from online got added into the group, and I was quite quite happy about that because he got beat before I did, and, like, if he hadn't been there, I would have been first out for sure. I just don't have a clue how to play those games. Like, there's too much to, like, you need to know what you're doing in advance.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm bad at that.
It's funny, like, that's a super popular game too.
Yeah.
It's like even there recently, I found an old copy of Advance Wars 2 for Game Boy Advance. I mean, it's one of the best titles in that console. And, like, literally, like, a 16-bit turn-based strategy game, I still can't manage. Like, I got, like, you know, so far through it, and then it just trumped me in difficulty. It was just so hard.
It's funny as well. Like, I know it's quite similar to Final Fantasy Tactics, which I've never really gotten into, despite my, like, love of all the other ones. I just can't get my head around it. Like, it's quite... Oh... like a different game,
but, yeah.
Well, I suppose it is. That's
why they call it something different. Yeah,
they made the distinction. It's distinct. I don't know what it is because I like to think that I like that sort of stuff, but then when I get around to actually doing it, I suck. I only get frustrated by it, and I'm like, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
I feel like the point where I'm playing games as a sort of, like, for practice to be good at them, like, in the way you'd, like, practice an instrument or, like, some sort of creative thing, I feel like that's when I'm, you know, investing too much, like, personally, where I'm like,
oh, yeah.
I need to actually... practice my technique, and like it's one thing to keep trying a bit in a level to get through it, but to actually have it down that in theory you know how you're going to play a game, like with buying certain items at certain points and doing certain actions in certain orders, I'm like, oh, this is not what I want to be doing. Like,
oh yeah,
rather just play some mindless games.
I was talking to someone about that the other day, and it's like this idea that attention is just a limited resource, and
what? Sorry, I wasn't listening.
You're like sitting playing Age of Empires on a tiny netbook, like just losing really badly. First level. As you say, it's. A lot of these games just demand, let's be real, like an unreasonable amount of time and effort. I feel bad. I got gifted Monster Hunter 3. I was really excited to play it. And nope. Wow, that thing demands way too much time and effort. Nope. And I find myself, like, I feel stupid, but I find myself just really offering up most of my attention to straightforward games. Like, I joke a lot that I play Mario Kart a lot. Have done, you know, just with living in a couple different houses full of different people in the last couple of years, just because it's such a good social game, but also that it's just, it's so straightforward. And it's, like, such a limited set of parameters to get good at. And, like, once you've mastered a few small just mechanics, it's, like, you could just work from there. It's really pleasant. I think that's why people like things like, as I mentioned earlier, Pokemon. It's like, it's an RPG, but it just simplifies things so clearly.
Nintendo really seem to have that down to like an art where, and then they do like have the occasional game where it's quite difficult, you know, they appease that sort of market as well, but yeah, all their sort of like flagship ones are just that, where they simplify the formula a bit and it like really works to their advantage.
I think, like, Super Smash Bros. Is a good example of like, serious gamers might scoff here, but I would consider it like it just perfectly straddles. It's like, it's a casual brawler and it's a hardcore brawler in one. It's like, if you're good at the game, you're never going to get defeated by someone who's a newcomer, really. But that being said, someone can button mash and do just fine.
Yeah.
And it's super fun. It's lightweight. There's two attack buttons, of which there's a few variations from then on. But yeah, it's super simple to begin with.
Yeah, it's got like really good balance going on where, like, I feel like, well, yeah, with other games, I sort of get put off even picking them up to begin with because I know that there's like a big sort of hardcore kind of community. Whereas, like, with the likes of Smash Bros, I'm just like, you know, it's Smash Bros.
Yeah, it's totally.
Two buttons.
It'd be like if Disney or Pixar made like a video game, you'd be like, hey, how hard can it be? Like, it's not gonna stretch me too much. Pixar would make a sweet video game.
It would be like Ni No Kuni for the Western world.
It would. I need to play Ni No Kuni.
You do.
Was it boss? Oh. Was it great? Ni No Kuni, for those who don't know, was a Studio Ghibli art-directed game, I guess.
Yeah,
that was like, pretty much the primary basically involvement.
Yeah, and I think the name's going to escape me. Is it Joe Hisaki? Is that right?
Hisashi. It's not Hisaki. I think it's Hisashi or something.
I'm trying to combine Miyazaki in there as well. Yeah, I think that's exactly, like, amalgamating the two. But he did all the music as well.
Yeah, the regular Studio Ghibli composer. So for those of you listening, if you enjoy Studio Ghibli movies, there is a PS3 game.
And it was quite cheap there at a point as well.
Was it
like
really?
£4 for a download
something. No way.
Yeah. Like, absurdly cheap, I'm going to say.
Absolutely absurdly cheap.
For a game that was actually like legitimately good. Like,
do you think it's still like that? Because I will literally, after this recording, go on my flatmate's PlayStation and download that.
It could be. I'm near sure. I don't know how long ago I saw this, but I would definitely pay £4 for it. That's... I'll say that.
You probably paid much more than that for
print that on the box if they like.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll need to. No.
Well, there won't be a box because it'll be a download.
That's,
I guess.
True. That's,
so
that's
they probably they can humor me. Like print it on a box. That'd be great.
Looked like a good game. I gotta check that out.
It was quite Pokemon-y as well, to be honest. Like,
was it friendly?
It was. Yeah, like it has really. I mean. Beautiful art and everything. Everything looks all super nice, but then also it was like you had like a sort of taming mechanic in it where you get your companions or monsters and you can train them up and then I guess like evolve them even. It's pretty good. I'm just thinking about it now and I really want to play it. Like I think by the end of it, like, I think I got to like 97% or something like
right,
that.
Okay.
Don't know why I didn't finish it, but I think it was just like so much grinding involved that I couldn't even face it. But like,
it is level 5 at the end of the day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wasn't level 5? Yeah.
But like, there wasn't that many during the course of the main game. It was only at the end where I was trying to like 100% it.
Okay. Did you finish the storyline? Was that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's not so bad.
I think by the end of it, I had like 60 hours or something.
That's good.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, that's the main story is, it like, it wouldn't be quite as long as that.
Okay.
But, I mean, it was great. I really, really enjoyed it. Like, the guys I lived with last year probably, like, testify to that they maybe didn't see me an awful lot during, like, the first week or so that it was out. I remember at one point as well that, like, they'd went out, and then, like, they could hear it from my room. Came in, like, about 1 a.m. and I'd set it up as well, so, like, I had my PlayStation outputting sound into my computer speakers. So I was, like, sitting with the music up, like, just right in front of it, just loving it.
just absorbing it.
So good.
I've always wanted to, like, you know, with a big game like that I'm really into, to, like, because all these games are made in 5.1, like surround sound, and no one ever plays it.
Yeah.
In surround sound. I feel like that would be a good thing to do.
Oh, just
absorb that soundtrack. I need to get it, man. Absolutely.
I want you to get it. I would even love to just sit and watch you play it. Like, that's...
Yeah, we'll do like a video cast down the line, and we'll like let's play it or something.
And I'll watch. I'll just sit and watch you.
Won't even say anything. I'll give you a microphone. You won't say anything. Man, I'm gonna wrap it up. Cause can you see how long that's gone on for? I nearly don't believe it's when I'm saying it out loud. Anyway, it's gone on for a long time. But yeah, thanks for chatting video games with me.
Anytime.
Yeah, we'll definitely do it again, because I feel like it definitely have. Video games is a just constantly moving world, and we always, as I say with my brother, it's always telling me the gossip. Like, there's always stuff going on. It's super exciting, super cool. So we'll do it again.
Look forward to it.
Sweet.